lot of other things going on here this morning at the Capitol, but perhaps something else, and why don't we just, why don't you come in front of the committee, and we'll start taking testimony on your bill, and then I guess we can move it out. I don't know how many members do we have here. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. House File 1283, which we heard, I think, a week ago in your committee. We had a hearing on it. At the time, you didn't have it in your possession. Now we have the current current bill before you, that current markup. Now, I understand this also is included in your omnibus bill. And I, unless somebody's got questions, we heard it before. I don't know if we need any more, need to go over it again, or...
Is the amendment in here for the concern that Representative Eastland had is in this bill then, right? Incorporated in it as amended?
His isn't in here right now, no. Isn't in this version. But it is in the omnibus bill.
Okay. Any more questions on this bill, Representative Eastland?
Was that the omnibus bill as we passed it out?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not so sure that totally addressed my concern, Mr. Chairman.
I'm Mr. Representative Nelson, Representative Eastland. We understand that, and I know the department has thought maybe there's another way to do it. It did save the concern you had about people that are independent contractors, legitimate ones, I think $50 on their licensing fee, but we can work on that later. Any other further questions of Representative Nelson then? If not, Representative Walt Nelson, what I intend to do is when the correct number of people here check in, we'll move your bill. There's a number of people in the Finance Committee that are on this committee. We'll move your bill forward and to rules, I believe. Representative Blank. To finance, okay.
I'm not sure of the process, but I have an amendment I'd like to add to Representative Nelson's bill.
In order.
Okay.
Do you have it? Is it?
I think it's been passed out to people, and it's called the H0797A38 amendment.
Can I get a copy of that?
Okay, the A38 amendment, Representative Bly moves the A38 amendment. Can you tell us what the amendment does, other than surprise me?
I'm sorry about that, Chair. This is an attempt to try to help out some constituents who have contacted me about the fact that they are working in the low-voltage electrical areas and discovered that they need a license to do what they're doing. This is a provision that has been done before, and I've spoken with John Schultz at the Department of Labor, who indicated he would be in favor of this opening the window for these particular folks to take an examination and not have to do the 3 years of apprenticeship that's currently in law, provided that I work with him to develop a process that would create a two-tier licensure program so that low-voltage electricians would have a different license than those who are doing the full work of an electrician. And I spoke with Representative Nelson about this, and he says in his union, too, this is a concern, and so he would be in favor of including this measure in his bill. And I did just get advice from research about where the amendment would be placed.
Representative Norness.
Mr. Chair, just a question. This is House File 1283, is that correct?
Yes.
The amendment refers to 797. Am I missing something?
Representative Bly just said...
Oh, he amended that.
Yeah, he said it doesn't... It wasn't drafted, this bill, and he's got counsel as the correct...
Okay, thing. I'm sorry. I missed that.
And Representative Nelson, any comments on it, the amendment?
It doesn't really pertain to this, but I, as far as what he said, yes, this is an issue that there are carpenters out there that do this kind of work also, low voltage work, dealing with electronic locks and that, and I don't really oppose the amendment, but it doesn't really pertain to the rest of the bill. But I know Germanus doesn't apply in committee.
That's right. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Blythe, so what will be the apprenticeship time for a person that's on low voltage?
This allows for people in this very sort of, in this circumstance now, who've been working in the industry and were unaware that they needed a license to do the work that they're doing, to take an examination. The goal is to work towards a licensure that would just have them licensed to do that kind of low-voltage work, and, you know, what kind of apprenticeship would be worked out later on. But that doesn't cover this in this bill, in this amendment. But this is an amendment that kind of repeats what has been done in the past to help folks who were in this situation before.
So people, Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, so people are doing low voltage work without experience or expertise, and then they learn enough so that they can pass a test, and so then we give them their license as if they were apprenticed?
Representative Murphy, my understanding of what he's doing here, the current sunset or the date when they had to have the license by, what, I don't know.
05.
And then that was pushed back farther. But anyway, these people are people that are working in as locksmiths that are installing installing house alarm systems and that type of work. There are carpenters out there installing electronic locks that require a low voltage stuff to them that are doing that now. And I think that's what this covers.
And Mr. Thune, do you want to comment on it?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gary Thaden. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Minnesota Contractors of the National Electrical Contractors Association. The law was changed, I believe, in 2003. If you look up on page at line 2.3, it says June 30th of 2003, the law was changed to allow for low-voltage contractors to have a separate license from the standard electrician's license. And then in 2005, there were some people that said, well, we never knew about it in 2003. We should be able to do the same thing, have some time period to apply without having the license. And now this would do the same thing as was done in 2005. They're saying, well, we never knew about it in 2003, and we didn't know about it in 2005. You should do this again for us. That's my jaded view,
and
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, sir, then who does the test? Who creates the test?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, that would be the standard test that is created by the now Department of Labor and Industry, formerly the Board of Electricity. You would still have to take the standard test. There's no difference there. It would be that do not have to fulfill the licensing requirements and worked under the license during that time period.
Okay, I think we've done this in the past, and Representative Nelson can work with Representative Bly on it. We have a quorum now. First of all, move the House File 1283 be recommended to pass and re-refer to Representative Murphy's committee, where it'll probably have to go to Finance and Rules. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Representative Bly offers the A38 amendment. Any more questions on it? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Any more questions on the bill? If not, motion is before us. House File 1283 be recommended to pass and referred to Mary Murphy's committee as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, committee.
Representative Solberg, your bill shouldn't take that long, should it?
It should not.
Mr. Representative Solberg moves that, Representative Reinert moves that House Bill 2385 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Rules Committee or Representative?
I think that's what
re-refer to Rules. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair and members, this is in a response to a situation that has recently developed within the Grand Rapids area. Ainsworth facility, which is an oriented strand board facility, has had some difficulties over the last few months and announced a couple days ago that and maybe in response to their need to do that from the Federal Ward Act, but they announced that they have indefinitely suspending operations. And this is an attempt to do what we have done in the taconite industry and in the we're attempting to do it with the Ford plant to make sure that at least if they do suspend operations permanently, that we're able to have that plant in working condition in case the opportunities arise in the future for us to reopen that plant and employ the 130 people that are there, plus all the jobs that are in the wood products industry. Kevin Wally is their representative down here, and I think he would like to speak to the bill.
Mr. Wally, welcome. You can make it brief.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make it very brief. My name is Kevin Wally. I'm speaking today on behalf of Ainsworth Engineered, a Canadian company that operates the OSB plants in Cook and Bemidji and the recently closed facility in Grand Rapids. As Representative Solberg mentioned, the Warn Act letter did go out on March 21st. That was the day before the six-month time clock ran out on the Warn Act requirements. If you don't provide at least 2 months' notice to workers of a plant shutdown, and the shutdown extends more than 6 months, you're required to make a two-month payment, lump sum payment, and extend health insurance benefits for those workers, which Ainsworth has now done. The OSB markets continue to be in very poor condition right now. The Grand Rapids plant has some competitive disadvantages due to the condition of the presses there. The company does intend to secure and maintain the mill in its current condition, and so for that reason, we are on a path to do very much what is required in this act. We are continuing to look for opportunities to reopen the plant, and our hope would be that we could do that this year.
Mr. Chair, in addition, I am scheduling to have some additional conversations with people from the Ainsworth management sometime this later on this week.
Okay, any other questions on the bill? If not, you've heard the motion, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails on a 1-0 vote. Two to nothing, I think. Representative Huntley, welcome to the committee house. Representative Norton, would you move the amendment, or excuse me, the minutes from the March 27th meeting?
Yes, Chairman Cravine, I would.
Okay. Representative Norton, with the minutes of the March 27th meeting, are there any additions or corrections? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Minutes are adopted. Representative Huntley, welcome to the committee. Representative Huntley, I understand you want to move. I'll move that the Senate file 238 be substitute, or the House file number 305 substitute for the Senate file 238. Is that the correct motion here? Oh, first I have to move the Senate file. Move that Senate file 238 be recommended to pass and re-referred back to Representative Murphy's committee. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Now I will move that House File 305 be substituted for the Senate language. Welcome to the committee, Representative Huntley.
Pleasure to be here, Mr. Chair. And, this is the Freedom to Breathe Act. What it does is set a date in which now most bars and restaurants will be not have smoking allowed. The date is January 1st, 2009. And this bill, as was originally introduced, would have prohibited smoking in basically in any public place, bars, restaurants. There was an amendment put on in the last committee that basically, my understanding, leaves it up to the local communities to decide whether the extent of this law, and it does allow some smoking rooms to be built. The there was also an amendment put on by the chairman, which is the reason that we're in this committee, and that is to protect workers if the implementation of this bill does cause serious hardship for the workers, and if they lose employment, then the amendment would make sure they get into the find the right words, the dislocated worker program, and that is the part of this bill that's the main function of this committee.
Okay, Representative Huntley, do you have anybody testify in support of your bill, or do you want any testimony?
No.
No? Okay. Members, I have the 838th Amendment, and so I would offer that up to clarify in statute that the dislocated worker would include number four where the new language is. Is there a Mr. Gangler in the audience? Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gangler. Why don't you come in front of the committee and welcome to the committee, Mr. Gangler. I don't know if you could you just identify yourself for the tape and tell us
My name is Mike Gangler. I've owned Galdon's in Maplewood for 17 years. And the reason I came down is to approximately 5 years ago, I took smoking out of my restaurant without anybody telling me to. And customers wanted it, so we took it out of the restaurant, and we've had a very successful food business there. I also at that time took it out of my banquet hall, went smoke-free 5 years ago. Approximately, I can't remember the exact date, Ramsey County went smoke-free with an exception that you could ventilate, cocoon your bar off with doors and separate entrance, separate HVAC units. And I opted to go smoke-free in my lounge because I thought I could get away with it because I'd already done it in the bar and the banquet hall. My business dropped off 50%, if not, and it got steadily worse, especially when it got cold. I put a deck on so they had somewhere to go. So I spent some dollars to make it work. I finally had to look into what I needed to do to get smoking back in the bar, and it cost approximately $22,000, and that doesn't even include the separate entrance and the deck. My business came back the next day. It was kind of scary, and we've been doing very well with having smoking just in the bar, and the dining room is doing tremendous, and my banquet hall is doing tremendous. And my concern is if they take smoking away again, I already know what it's going to do to me. The smokers just quit coming. They don't go out. And a lot of people think it's going to be a fair playing field because it's going to be statewide. I just disagree because I've already been through it. That I have staff that's worked for me forever. We've been around since 1934, and they're going to lose some revenue, and I just think that, you know, the ventilation and everything that needs to be done, I don't think there's a bar owner in the state that wouldn't pay the money to do it. And and that's why I came down, because I've lived this whole scenario, and it just does not work in a bar. I think it works everywhere else, but it does not work in a bar.
Mr. Gangler, did you have layoffs when you talked about that period of time?
Well, I have 51 employees, and the people that do work in the lounge are all full-time people. Melody and Scott Boyd, they all have children, and all lost a lot of revenue. And to be honest with you, Mr. Chair, if it goes smoke-free, my bar is not going to stay open past 10 o'clock, because I know what it's going to do. And I'll just shut it down.
Well, questions of the witness. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, what do those people do that have been working with you since 1934?
Well, that's how long the restaurant's been there, but the people that have worked in the restaurant have worked there a long time, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years. I've owned it 17. But that's how they make their living, so.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Yes,
I do have two people here.
Okay, Representative Huntley, then we'll bring those people up to testify. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
If I could just have a comment first, Mr. Chair. Anybody that's been to Duluth knows the Pickwick restaurant is probably the number one place in the city of Duluth to eat or have a drink. And we have Joan Linsky here to tell us about the Pickwick.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm here to speak from two perspectives today. My first perspective, the first and foremost perspective, is from that of the worker. I'm here to speak on this issue because it's difficult for anyone who works in this business or who owns a restaurant or bar in this business to say that they don't want to breathe secondhand smoke. We have to move forward on this issue first and foremost to protect the worker and also to protect owners of bars and restaurants. Ignorance is no excuse. I used to say that it was okay to breathe secondhand smoke because I didn't want to offend anybody. And in fact, the reality and the nature of my job and those of us who own restaurants, work in restaurants and bars, and I have done it all since 1977, we're not here to tell you that you can't blow smoke in our face. So we put up with it at the cost of our health. Most people who work in this industry are not handed information that you as lawmakers are given to look at and to be educated on, and you have been educated on the facts behind this issue. There is no question now with the Surgeon General behind us and all the research that secondhand smoke is killing people who work in this industry, and so that is costing all of us. You know that little saying, you have your health, you have everything. What good is it going to do any one of us to be dying from cancer or have heart disease because we have been exposed to secondhand smoke? And it is irrelevant when younger people say that they don't mind. Of course they don't mind. What do they know? We know better. All of us know better in this room. So I'm going to strongly urge you today to take a leadership role on this issue. That's the first perspective that I'm speaking from. The second perspective that I'm speaking from today is that of an activist, a citizen in the community, who's taking time out of my college schedule today to tell you that as a voter, I'm totally disgusted with the hedging that has gone on in this issue in Duluth and in front of St. Louis County. Dennis Fink has repeatedly said that he wants to see the public come forward on this issue and speak out against secondhand smoke in bars and restaurants. Well, I am the public, and I am a worker in this environment. I expect more from lawmakers than that. Everyone has passed the buck, and now it's down to the state once again. Here we are once again. From my perspective, I have a little visual here. This is how I see things in the state of Minnesota. We kind of have the white area here is Minneapolis, St. Paul, the southern part of the state, Duluth up in here, and then the western part of the state. This is the condition of the state of Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic, home of Hazleton, and now across the street from the restaurant that I work in, a cancer center. And we can't get lawmakers to get behind this issue and take a leadership role. It is my opinion, and I believe this firmly, that the hesitation of lawmakers in the state of Minnesota to pass a statewide smoking ban has done more to harm the economy of working people and the financial state of businesses than a smoking ban straight across the board ever could. By passing a law that supports all workers in restaurants and bars, by having something that is the same for everyone so that people can't be changing up the rules every time we turn around, we can turn the patchwork that we have now into this. And that's what we need to get to. I'm asking you today to please become united on this issue, take a stand on this issue, support the Freedom to Breathe Act for everyone in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Linsky, Representative Briner?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I really just want to make a statement in support of everything that this witness has said. I come from a community that has completely vetted this issue for almost 2 years, and we passed a community referendum, 79% in support of a complete smoking ban. And I believe that the state has to take leadership to make that a statewide commitment. And I think the public health issues and the health costs are so great that we would be irresponsible as legislators not to step up to the plate on this issue.
Representative Briner, you discussed something very important here, and that is that your people voted on it in Mankato. In Duluth, the city council, if I'm not mistaken, passed an ordinance. Was it the council, Representative Huntley? I believe so. And I think a year later, the public voted on it and they undid it for bars. And so there's a difference of opinion in different places on what it should be. And, you know, I guess there's different attitudes in different parts of the state, and that's fine, but
Representative Rukavina, I would like to respond to that if I could.
Sure.
Opinions are irrelevant. Health is what is at stake here. You know, we need to move forward on an issue even though people disagree with it. Just because people voted out the smoking in bars in the city of Duluth doesn't mean that the majority of the people in the city of Duluth don't want a smoke-free area. People do.
Well, and people see the majority of the people voting in Duluth voted to let bars not have, I guess, a smoke-free
yeah,
area.
That was
if that's your
yeah,
issue.
That was 3 years ago. Okay, we're coming up to this again, and part of the reason this has been allowed to go on is because the buck stops here. We've been told repeatedly by lawmakers that you guys have to decide. You know, I know that people are concerned about the borderline issues. I waited on people on Saturday night from Superior that want to be in a smoke-free environment. And I waited on people that smoked that went outside to have a cigarette, and you know, they lived, the sky didn't fall. We have to move forward. It's the 21st century. And this is the state of Minnesota. Again, I will reiterate this. This is the home of the Mayo Clinic. This is the state that people come to. People look to the state of Minnesota and lawmakers to get educated, to get healthy, to be healed from cancer. And you're hedging on this? We can't afford to hedge on this anymore.
Representative Huntley.
I have another witness, Pat McCone.
Thank you for being here.
And I will say the Pickwick is an interesting place. It's been in the same family since, I think, about 1914 or so. And the owner, current owner, Mr. Wasaki, was very opposed to the city's ordinance prior to its passing, and when it went into effect, he now loves it, and he is very pleased with the effect it's had on his employees. He's actually done national ads saying how good this is for his business and his employees. So it's, there's a gentleman that's changed 180 degrees after it was implemented.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Pat McCone. I am a director for tobacco control and policy for the American Lung Association of Minnesota. I'm based out of Duluth. I'm also the president of the Smoke Free Coalition. But I'm also the granddaughter of a steelworker and born and raised on the Iron Range. And the last time I said Mr. Rukavina, it was to my 10th grade geometry teacher. The last time I
fast
a while ago. And the last time I said Mr. Tomasoni was my neighbor down the street, Hugo and Eleanor Tomasoni. It's fairly discouraging to see what I feel are strangers and not strangers fight this issue so dearly, a worker health issue that my grandfather fought. I remember my grandfather unfolding the folds in his skin with the iron ore embedded in them and saying, I never want this to happen to my children and my grandchildren. My grandmother was a shirt. She sewed shirts at Clue Peabody. She, too, was very concerned about worker health. And it is disappointing to see the Rangers fight this issue of worker health. The time is now, and the train has left the station. Minnesota is behind the times. There are 17 states that have led us. In 1975, we passed the Clean Indoor Air Act, protecting almost all workers from secondhand smoke, leaving behind the most vulnerable, the bar and restaurant workers. I also want to set the record straight about the Duluth vote. I lived every moment of it. In 1999, we started our work in Duluth. We passed a policy in 2000 that was implemented January of 2001. In 2001, the same bar and restaurant workers that said, where the sky is going to fall, came to the council and said, do away with it, it's unfair. And the council said, you didn't try. And they strengthened the law. They objected to that, and because we are a charter city, it went to vote. The vote was upheld in 2001. Because this is a worker health issue, and the Lung Association and many advocates across the country want to protect all workers, we're not going away. We put it on the ballot, and those same bar and restaurant owners, supported by the tobacco industry, scared the bejesus out of the voters. Your property taxes are going to increase. The sky is going to fall. They did a good job of it. And the ordinance wasn't defeated. It just wasn't strengthened. That was before the Surgeon General's report. I'd hate to see every school in this state dependent on one vote of a school referendum. They voted, no new school. We come again and again. The evidence is overwhelming. When you're back at your constituency, listen to people. Listen to the clerk that waited on me yesterday and saw my button and said, I support you. Or the bartender that said to me, I wish this could happen, but I think it's only a dream. A dream of health for those workers. There will be schemes and gimmicks, ventilated rooms, patios out here, this and that. Those schemes and gimmicks didn't work for the mining industry, and they shouldn't for the hospitality industry. This is an economic issue, as so clearly spelled out by the Blue Cross Blue Shield report on the health impact of secondhand smoke. And what about those smokers? They adapt. I remember this discussion on airplanes. They won't fly. They can never take it. There has to be a place for them to smoke. Can you imagine that today? These college students here, when we say there was smoking on airplanes, they're absolutely dumbfounded. It wasn't that long ago. The train has left the station. I lived in Ridgewood, Virginia, Minnesota, between two train tracks. It's time to catch on board. Thank you.
Well, Ms. McCone, if you lived in Ridgewood...
You bet I did.
You'll see right above Ridgewood right now, there's a taconite mine going.
Yes.
Mining going on, and there's dust on...
Yes.
All of people's houses once in a while when they blast, which is about three times a week, and they call me up, people, and that's the effects of mining. I don't know. Maybe we can put a dome over Virginia. We just had a report on mesothelioma on the Iron Range. They don't know yet if it's the taconite dust itself or the materials when people had to mix asbestos in a big mixing bowl 20 years ago and line the pipes with it, if it's from that. But they'll be doing research, but... Ms. McCall, I worked in the taconite plant, and I worked in a natural ore mine, and I worked in the Extaca plant right there next to Ridgewood. And, you know, it seems rather absurd to me have you ever been in a taconite plant?
Yes, I have. I used to walk those tracks down to the crusher.
That's not a taconite plant. That's a natural ore mine. Have you ever been in a taconite plant?
I have not been in the plant.
Yeah, well, in taconite plants, some of the buildings are over a half mile long and 10, 12 stories high, and they're wide open buildings. There's lunchrooms, dries, we call them, where people change and wash up, and there's a few small offices, but the rest of the building is a wide open space, And in that building, there's about, oh, this much taconite dust on everything, you know, constantly. That's what makes iron ore, so people can have skyscrapers to live in down here and bridges and all those buses they want for transportation and light rail. And it's sad but true. It's just a way of doing business. There's no way to get that out. You're grinding the hardest rock, some of the hardest rock on earth, into the consistency of a facial powder. And to say that those guys in there can't smoke if they want to, when there's a hell of a lot worse going on to their lungs than smoking, is somewhat absurd to me. You know, there's quirky, you know, it's great to have great names, Freedom to Breathe Act. It's kind of like the Patriot Act, you know. Homeland Security, Representative Huntley took a good lesson from the Republicans, put a good name on a bill. But fact of the matter is, we can't outlaw death in the legislature. I don't think we ever will. People are going to die. You know, where's the built into this bill, if we're going to save so many lives, where's the cuts to the premiums and health insurance premiums to Blue Cross and Blue Shield? Is there cuts in this bill that all this money we're going to save because nobody's going to die anymore, that's going to get knocked off our premiums? We did that in the old days when we had workers' comp reform. We said, here, you're going to cut the premiums so much percent. You know, I'm glad you ran into a bartender that told you that, because I've been asking every waitress and bartender, and I will honestly say that one bartender at the St. Paul, what's the other union, only union place left besides Mancini's, Pozzoluna, I guess, is that what it is? And one bartender from the range who doesn't like me. So what if I said black, they'd say white. But anyway, those are the two people that I've encountered statewide that I've asked that question to, other than Ms. Linsky, who came forward now. So, you know, in fact, I've had waitresses tell me how insulting it is that people up here think they're smarter than them. They got college degrees. They work as waitresses for certain reasons, and they're smart enough to make their own decisions. But in the end, you know, with technology that you can... We got all these nanosciences and that now, and it seems to me with the technology we have that we could have a separate smoking room. If you're from the range, which you say you are, Ms. McCone in Ridgewood, Minnesota, just let me read you the warm month of January, which was a warm month in Minnesota, in embarrassed Minnesota, and then you tell me how many people are going to be smoking outside. Here's the 30 days in January in embarrassed Minnesota. These aren't Windchill members. If we said Windchill, you guys would never come north of Hinckley. But minus 6 on the 2nd of January, then it warmed up to 16 and 20 above and 17. Now we get to January 8th, it's minus 2, minus 4, minus 21, minus 3, minus 8, minus 32, minus 21, minus 11. These are in a row. Minus 34, minus 1, it warmed up to 3 above on the 18th of January. Minus 2, minus 23. Warms up for 2 days to 10 and 9 above, minus 8, minus 20, minus 26, minus 3, minus 31, minus 8, minus 31. People aren't going to go outside and smoke, and if they are, they're not going to stay very long, and they're going to leave, and they're going to go home like that other gentleman said, and there is going to be repercussions to this industry, which is proven, I think, by the gambling board's $12 million loss, of which I think 75% of that $12 million to the state anticipated loss in revenue came from Minneapolis and St. Paul, where only 25% of the tickets are sold. So there is a loss to the hospitality industry, and there's a loss to other people like the charitable gambling, and how this ever became a fiscal note of zero is beyond me. But I just want to make sure that if there are places that shut down or people that lose their job, which there have been, that they qualify for.
Well, respectfully, Chair Bukovina, my father is buried in embarrassed, and he was 47. We don't want to add insult to injury to worker issues. When we know the science, then we are obligated to protect it. My daughter is in school in Maine in a smoke-free state that can match some of those temperatures, and there's no problem going out to eat, and there's no problem with stepping outside. So we can respectfully agree to disagree. It is about workers' health. Thank you.
Representative Norris.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to clarify something. If I recall, isn't Minnesota ranked as the healthiest state in the union? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't. Depends on who you're talking to, I guess. Is that business health or?
No.
Representative Norton.
Chair Rukavina, I guess I'm kind of in line behind Representative Breitert's in support of this, and for some of the same reasons. Olmsted County, too, has dealt with this issue. We've spent many years studying it, and we've gone from a restaurant only to a smoke-free workplaces completely, beginning this May, I believe. And just a couple things. This is a public health issue, and I wanted to let you know of an email, and I've received many on both sides of this issue, but one that really hit home that I received this weekend was from a gentleman who's just gone through Mayo Clinic for lung cancer, and he emailed me to ask me to please support this, and the reason was because when they went through all the risk factors, checking off in his history with the doctor what the doctor's the risk factor that impacted, they believe, his lung cancer was 17 years, I believe, in the billiards field, and he goes to billiards tournaments and has spent a good deal of time in smoky bars and smoky billiard tournaments. And so he's asking, as someone who lived that life but is now suffering the consequences as a secondhand smoke recipient, a non-smoker himself, he is asking us for support. Many surveys have been done statewide. Surveys have been done in Olmsted County and Mankato and many communities, and far and above come out, the results come out for smoke-free. And I am always disappointed when I see the handouts come by and there's some misrepresentation, and of course there's one here, Olmsted, which I assume is Olmsted County poll, show that 54% oppose a strict smoking ban. And in fact, the Olmsted County survey that was done was significantly different from that, and upwards of 75% to 80% of the community would prefer smoke-free workplaces. And I just, one of the things I guess I'm most disappointed about is some of the organizations in Olmsted County that came to testify said, and this is the tavern owners, this is the Chamber of Commerce, they all said, don't do it here, we'll support a statewide ban. And many of those organizations that came to Olmsted County and said, don't do it in Olmsted County, please let the state do it and we'll support it, are now here saying, don't do it. And the disingenuous attitudes of some are a little disappointing to me. This is a public health issue. This is about what's doing right for all employees in the state of Minnesota. It's about protecting workers, and I'm not going to deny that there might not be an economic impact, and I appreciate your concern for the workers, Chair Rukavina, and your amendment here. And I guess you know, I'm not going to oppose your amendment, I don't think, because I think it's just clarifying something, but I do, if you could answer for me, without this amendment, are not all workers that are displaced from jobs able to apply for unemployment and some of those other services that we've been hearing about for the last 3 months in this committee? Does this language make it more or less law relevant, I guess? If you could clarify that for me.
Representative Norton, what this has nothing to do with unemployment insurance. People get laid off, they get laid, you know, get laid off, and they collect unemployment insurance. That has to do with the state program, Dislocated Worker Fund, and I'm just trying to clarify that, as you see, number four here applies to them, because there may be an issue as to whether or not, you know, I don't want it to be an issue as to whether or not they lost their job because of the smoking ban or not. So I want that clarified, that if there are repercussions from the smoking ban, that they... And their employee says that, yes, I laid a couple people off because the bar business dwindled, that they're going to be able to get some retraining. Because that's what that fund is for, retraining.
It's for retraining, and if they just lost their job?
They still get unemployment insurance.
But they wouldn't get the retraining?
Well, there's a question as to whether or not they would, and this is, I'm clarifying that they do.
Okay, thank you.
In the Workforce Development Fund. So... Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, You've talked about the taconite and the fact that the health department has now determined after several years of study that the situation for workers is even worse on the range than they thought, and there's new evidence suggesting that mesothelioma is caused by the work environment. It's on the range, it's found only in males that work in these kinds of facilities. But the order of deaths, I believe, are in the 50 to 100 region over a long period of years. And the health department is now spending millions of dollars to study that, to try to protect those workers. But what you need to know is in Minnesota, roughly 6,000 people every year die from tobacco, and about 300 of those die and that they don't smoke, they die because of secondhand smoke. That's more people in 1 year than have ever died from mesothelioma on the range, and the Department of the Health is going doing a lot of work just to deal with the mesothelioma on the range, and it's a much smaller problem than secondhand smoke.
Representative Huntley, the mesothelioma study has gone on for many, many years, and in fact, we funded it in the, I think, mid-90s in the Carlson administration, and it came back then with inconclusive evidence as to what, whether or not, what was causing the problem. And you're right, there are people that work in taconite plants, but they still, and I asked this question the other day when they came to me before they put the press release out, to identify whether where they're from and whether or not it's from the dust or from the products they use, and they said they can't, they don't know where they're from and they can't identify that. That's why they're going to keep doing the research. And we're not arguing about whether or not there are effects from secondhand smoke. We're arguing about whether or not you can, in this bill today, whether or not people that get laid off, if there's a downturn, which there has been, I can tell you many member bar owners and the restaurateurs in the St. Paul area that have told me they've had to lay people off since the smoking ban. That's what we're here. We'll save the debate on this whole issue for the floor. You know, I plan on having a pretty good time with it myself, because I still don't understand, you know, in your bill about public spaces, why the Zavirls and Ely can't smoke up in their house. But, you know, that's maybe just the question of whether or not we're moving towards a Stalinistic society or a whatever. I don't know that. But maybe we can clarify that on the House floor, that people that have their homes attached to their bar can actually smoke in them, and that their friends who work in their bar can sit in their house and smoke in them without the, you know, I don't know what we're going to call these, the tobacco cops or whatever, giving somebody a ticket. But with that, Representative Severson, you're not the chief author. You can sit over here and talk from over here. Okay? We don't need you up front there. You're not involved in this whole. You're not the chief author. Representative Nornes.
Mr. Chair, I was just, and I don't mean to make light of this, but my mother died of the lung cancer that you're talking about. And I think she was in Virginia once. No one really knows, you know, what caused her cancer. And four other people in our church have died of the same exact form of cancer. So a lot of this is just a mystery. There are theories. They say asbestos, maybe. I mean, I wish we knew. I really do. It would make this a lot easier. And I've been called by attorneys who want to sue. Sue who? Over my mother's cancer. And so there are people that are also trying to make some money off of this misery.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point, are we on the 838 amendment?
I believe I offered the amendment, yeah.
I just, and yes. No offense to the other discussion, but some of the discussion that we've had seems to be on the bill itself rather
than
the amendment.
There's no further discussion on the amendment, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. I have the A36 amendment that clarifies that I should have probably incorporated that into mine, but what it does, members, is it was brought to me by someone from the bingo halls, because there's a number of bingo halls in the state. I think Representative Atkins has one. So, Representative Atkins, are you going to move this?
I would, Mr. Chair, and I'll briefly explain it, if I might. This is actually my amendment in the Commerce and Labor Committee. I believe it went on unanimously or nearly unanimously on a voice vote. Delayed implementation to January 1, 2009 for bars and restaurants. And the author's intent, me, was to include bingo halls in that as well, the goal being to sort of chart a reasonable course as we, as my sense is that a smoking ban is going to occur. But I have a great deal of regard for the moms and pops out there in little bingo halls that are just trying to figure out how they're going to work this into their operation. And so this gives them a little bit of a window to do that. And I had intended to include bingo halls, failed to do so, and I'd appreciate members' support for this amendment.
Any questions on the amendment? Not all, Representative Huntley?
I support this amendment because it treats these facilities the same as bars and restaurants, and they should all be treated the same.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. There's one in here from heavy commercial vehicles. I think it's a clarification that if there's somebody from the audience, Representative Gunther, do you want to offer it?
I'll offer it. Representative
Gunther offers the 839 amendment. Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, members, that 839 amendment or 840 amendment I got, but they're basically the same. It just renumbers the article. It exempts heavy privately owned commercial vehicles from a smoking ban, specifically for long-haul team drivers, removes the significant other language. And the issues are, one of the biggest problems the trucking industry has right now is to find drivers. And we don't want to put any more barriers up for finding those drivers. I think our life without long-haul drivers would be very, very critical. And amendment ensures a larger pool of potential commercial drivers in the workforce. And long-haul drivers already have many detriments, including extended periods away from home, new federal hours of service, and increased cost of doing business. I think basically the amendment kind of stands for it all. I'll certainly stand for any questions.
I have the first version. The A39 is not going to be offered. This is the A40 amendment, which is passed out now, which is corrected. Representative Huntley, do you want to comment on that? Remember, there was discussion in finance about significant other or whatever, and you've heard what this does. Do you have any opinion on it?
Well, in the previous was the language is to try to set it up so that if you had two people that had some kind of long-term relationship and wanted to smoke in there, I had no problem with that. This does have a problem that if you've got one driver that wants to smoke and the other one that doesn't, it looks like they're both going to smoke.
Representative Nornes?
I just was thinking of the long-haul driver. So this, as the bill now stands, if you drive into Minnesota and you're driving from coast to coast, there are a lot of truckers. I know a trucker or a company that owns a fleet of trucks that haul for FedEx. So when they enter in Minnesota, they have to throw all their cigarettes out, and when they cross into North Dakota, they can light up again. Is that what we're saying? So they want to hurry up?
I don't know how we're going to enforce this law, but
but that's what it's basically saying.
As long as they don't inhale.
Representative Gunther to the...
Well, it is almost unenforceable, and so I think in fairness to these long-haul drivers that come through Minnesota, I think this is a very appropriate amendment. I request your support.
Representative Huntley, maybe you could give us an example just quickly. Let's say that a truck driver gets pulled over for speeding by a Minnesota trooper and there's the smell of tobacco in the cab. What would happen at that point? Would there be an investigation if there was more than one person into who the other person was, and then would there be a fine, and how would it work? Is that why
Mr.
we need the 40 new troopers?
I wouldn't know, and I can't imagine a patrolman being concerned about the cigarette smoke.
Oh, you must live in a different place than I do. Okay, you've heard the amendment. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, then do I get this correct? You're allowing the long-term truck driver to smoke?
That's correct.
I think for clarification, a long-term truck driver can smoke now in the Huntley bill. And if he has a significant other, but we don't know, the definition of significant other is in the bill. And I think it's an other that's significant. But anyway, then they can smoke. But I think Representative Gunther is clarifying that there's two, that they can smoke in the truck, period. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. The A37 amendment on border cities. Whose amendment is that?
That's mine.
Representative Nornes offers the following amendment. Representative Nornes.
You said A2?
No. A37.
Oh.
Border cities.
No. I guess there must be another one. Mine said A2. Okay. A37.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, this treats the border cities fairly. This means cities that are contiguous to the border, such as Breckenridge, Moorhead, East Grand Forks. There are other examples around the edges of our state. And in these cities, bars and private clubs would be permitted to still allow smoking. That's basically it, Mr. Chair.
Perhaps, Nornes, would it be a friendly amendment after page 1, line 11, put or a mining area that borders a border city? Be a lot more attractive to me then.
You're the chair.
Representative Huntley to the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, Duluth is a border city. People can drive across the bridge and whatever they want. There's been no decline in tax revenues from bars and restaurants in Minnesota. Granted, bars are now can have smoking, but the bar restaurants have had no decline in revenues reported to the city. Even though people can drive across the bridge, so I don't think this is amendment is necessary.
Representative Huntley, for clarification in Duluth, how is it if you do less or more than 50% in liquor? Is that the way it reads?
That's my understanding. If more than 50% of your revenue comes from food, then you can't smoke in there. If it's, I think, less than 50, I don't know.
What, Mr. Chair,
is it 50?
It's based on food service license, not the sum of sales at all.
Okay. If you have a food service license, there's no smoking.
Representative Nornes.
I would argue that there's a little difference between Duluth and Superior compared to Breckenridge or Moorhead. In those towns, you can walk across. You've got a big, long bridge here you got to cross. It's a little more effort to get from one to the other. These towns, Moorhead, Fargo, they're literally one community separated by the Red River. That's all. And I think that's the case that we're looking at is a small community. In most cases, on the Minnesota side, it's the smallest of the two communities with probably less establishments than the first place. But I think it's a fairness issue, and I strongly recommend supporting the amendment.
Representative Atkins.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You actually made my point probably without even desiring to, which is that when you do it for the as much empathy as I have for folks in those border communities, if it happens in come across the river from Hudson Prescott into Hastings, and then the folks in Rosemont say, well, now we're at a disadvantage to those folks in Hastings, then, of course, the folks in Inver Grove, if it happens for Rosemont, now it's a disadvantage for us. So as long as you continue to take those friendly amendments and we get all the way into the heart of Minnesota, then I think we're fine. If you're not going to do that, then I think you made the point well at the outset, which is that if you're not going to do it for all, you can't do it for one.
Representative Martin.
I guess the point's been made, and I would just strongly encourage folks to vote against the amendment.
Representative Steverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You still sitting up there?
I'm still sitting up here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Gunther.
Representative Mr. Gunther. Chair, to that point, I have a constituent who testified in front of the committee that you referred this bill to before here, basically that has a restaurant in the St. Cloud area, Wade Park area, who voluntarily went smoke-free and came before the committee and said, you know, I should not be here. I should not be testifying because since I've gone smoke-free, my business has taken off. And that's a microcosm of what's going on the border, because I believe that once the borders go smoke-free, that those people from the bordering districts will come to Minnesota to eat because it's a smoke-free environment and they can bring their kids there, and we are going to see an actual increase. Now, that may take 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Mr. Chair and members, I believe that that is the trend. This is a health issue. This is covered by an economic issue that in the long run will play out to the benefit of all those who take this on board. But the issue needs to be, are we going to have the strength to stand in this committee and say, this is a matter of health. This is not so much a matter of economics, it's a matter of health. Mm-hmm. Take the hard stand.
Mr. Chair, I need to clarify one thing.
Representative,
the amendment is only dealing with bars and private clubs, not restaurants. So there'll be no kids or families coming to these establishments that are affected by this amendment. So.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of Border City legislation is dealing with the inability of a Minnesota community to compete because of the higher gas taxes or higher some kind of taxes. And that's why we have Border City legislation. Is that not correct, Representative Murphy?
No, that's not correct.
Why do we have Border City legislation then?
Representative Murphy.
I don't know.
Because
in this case, I sure don't know.
North Dakota
because
doesn't
Wisconsin
have...
Because Wisconsin is waiting for us, Superior is waiting for us to pass this bill
so
without the amendment.
Without the amendment?
Yes.
And why are they waiting, Representative
Murphy? Because the governor of Wisconsin is just waiting. He's coming around. He's made this no smoking an issue, and they're waiting for Minnesota. And then they're going to just snap into a line.
Okay. Representative Gunther, did you have another comment? No? You know, I really have a hard time following this debate because you got all these people that say that everything's hunky-dory when we ban smoking and it doesn't hurt the restaurants, but then I just must, and I am a little light in the head, I admit that, so, you know, I mean, I can't even blink and think at the same time, it takes too much effort. But anyway, so the point being, what's this all about an equal playing field if everything's so great about this bill and it doesn't hurt anything? Why do we need an equal playing field? Representative Searson, you want to talk about that equal playing field or Representative Huntley?
Somewhat. Mr. Okay. Chair, I apologize for being late. I was in the same committee hearing that you were up to, so I didn't get to hear all of the testimony, but I did want to bring the testimony of three people that I've talked to, and three people, not those that I've talked to, but those that I have heard about. The first one being in a committee that we had during the snowstorm. A medical doctor came down from Duluth, actually, and the day before he said he had seen a lady who was having some equilibrium problems. She came down in an emergency situation down at the Duluth Hospital, they did a brain scan, found she had two large tumors on her brain. When they went further, they found that her lungs were filled with cancer. Had she ever smoked? No. But she worked in the hospitality industry for 35 years. That's secondhand smoke. I was in my office with a news reporter about this particular issue. He had the camera on me, and my wife started talking about how a relative of hers had died from secondhand smoke. Her aunt smoked. He did not. He just passed away this last 6 months. When he saw that, he wanted to put the camera on her and ask her about that particular issue. She said, I can't do that. You know, it's a personal issue. He said, well, my father worked in the bowling alley for 40 years putting together bowling tournaments and died from secondhand smoke. He never smoked. These are real people that are not here to testify today. These are people whose lives have been cut short because of this need to economically sanction something that we know is a health hazard today. We have a responsibility as people, as policymakers in this legislature, to say, you know what, we know it's a hazard. It's time to stop.
Representative Severson, why don't we just outlaw smoking and get to the bottom of it? It's such a problem. Why don't you put the bill in outlaw smoking, Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair,
is it the $450 million a year that poor people have to pay to keep programs going that we don't outlaw smoking? We really care so much about freedom to breathe. Is it $450 million a year? I'll be offering that amendment. You can make that decision, both of you, on the House floor. Let's just get rid of it then. Let's stop smoking. We'll tell people when to eat, sleep, walk, whatever. It's a legal substance. And your arguments about freedom to breathe now have moved from across the street. I think in St. Paul, is it, they're having the argument at the county courthouse whether you can smoke outside the building or if you have to move 60 feet away. And, you know, that'll be the argument. So let's just get rid of it. Or are we too dependent on $450 million a year from cigarette fees and taxes? Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and members, this is about workers' safety, not about what people do in their own homes. It's about workers' safety. We've talked earlier about trying to protect people from mesothelioma. Why wouldn't we try to protect workers from lung cancer that's not of their own cause?
Representative Huntley, like I said, I think you can put a person on the moon. You can have a ventilation system that'll suck a little guy like me right up to it when I go in that smoking room. You know, there's absolutely no one can convince me of that. I think it has more to do about attitudes and philosophy, like people saying the other day in tax committee that the reason we're taxing those poor people in this high tax is to get them to realize they got a bad habit and they shouldn't be doing it. Well, then just outlaw it. Well, while we're at it, we should outlaw fun and everything else. It's all dangerous, you know. We should outlaw, you know, all kinds of things, I guess. Representative Nornes.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, that I'm willing to risk a vote on that amendment now.
On mine?
No, we didn't vote on mine, did we?
No. Here we have the A37 amendment in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. No.
My motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted. Mr. Scrub, since we're on the issue of, is there a Mr. Scrub in the audience? Since we're on the issue of ventilation, would you come forward, sir? You asked to speak on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Marty Scrub. I'm here to speak on behalf of the sheet metal workers of Local 10 and the Sheet Metal Air Conditioning and Roofing Contractors Association. That employ those workers. I'm here really for two reasons. The first one is to talk about ventilation and the fact that it will work, the fact that we've got problems with secondhand smoke in bars and restaurants wouldn't pertain to the new requirements in the smoking. There's not, to my knowledge, and I was an inspector with the City of St. Paul for over 16 years, to the best of my knowledge, there's not a bar in either the Twin Cities and probably across the state that meets the requirements for the ventilation for smoking area. If you go to the requirements in ASHRAE for smoking areas, it's double what's required for a bar. So everybody that builds a bar and puts in the ventilation system stops there. They know they're smoking, but they never ventilate it to that point because it's more costly. So obviously if you double that amount of air that's circulated in a newer facility, you're going to alleviate that problem. I passed a letter out. If you look at, there's a paragraph in there, it talks about parking garages. None of us thinks twice about driving into an enclosed parking garage, which can be several, four or five floors down below grade. All of that pollution from those cars, the carbon monoxide and other gases that are produced, are taken out by ventilation system. The rate in a smoking area is more than 5.5 times what would be required in a parking garage. I can't believe that you know our technology with air movement would not allow a safe environment in that bar or restaurant for people to smoke. It you can move enough air to make that happen. It's no different than putting them outside. You probably get better ventilation in a smoking room than you would standing on a street corner when the wind isn't blowing. So we know it can be done. We keep the area at a negative to all of the surrounding areas. We move enough air. There are smoke eaters that were testified to in other committees. Again, that's a filtration test that was put out by ASHRAE. It's not a ventilation test, and it's been often misquoted here. It talks about removing particulates up to microns inside 99-point-some percent in those cases. And the problem with that is that it doesn't talk about ventilation. The gases remain behind. That's what you need the additional ventilation for, is to move those gases out. We've arrested the particulate in the smoke eaters, but the gases that remain need to be ventilated out of the space. We can certainly do that with ventilation. As I said, 5.5 times greater than what's required in a parking garage. I don't know how many of you have ever gone to an event, but you get stuck in that parking ramp for maybe up to a half hour sometimes trying to get out after an event is over. And sure, you can smell a little bit of exhaust fumes, but there's nothing dangerous. You're not setting off any alarms in the building. The systems are running, and it's not a problem. Again, if you follow the standard that's in the law currently today, it's 5.5 times greater than what's required for a parking garage. So I can't stress that enough. It's just something that needs to be looked at. And then the second reason I'm here really is for the jobs. We currently have, I stated 267 the last time I testified. I understand we've had a few guys out. We're down around 250 right now, unemployed in the metro area, sheet metal workers. We're the guys that put these systems in. We could certainly use that work. We think it would create a safe environment for the people that patronize those places, give the owners an option. I would suggest that you consider putting a plaque on the door where they enter the place. This is a smoking facility that incorporates a state-approved ventilation standard. And if you did that, anybody, my wife and I walk up to the door, we choose not to smoke, we can see that sign, we can go elsewhere. But at least we're informed before we walk in the door. We know what we're walking into. We know they've got a state-improved system. There should not be a problem with that ventilation.
So it'd be Joe's Bands, Guns, but not tobacco on this premises.
That would work for me. Anyways, like I said, I'm here to tell you, first of all, that ventilation will work. There's history proving that. And then secondly, that we need the job. It's not just my trade. Pipe fitters, electricians, carpenters, roofers, you name it. We all benefit from this. If that were put into the equation, we create those rooms and we ventilate them properly and things go on.
Straub, I'm curious. Let's say, you know, a room 20 by 20 smoking room, what would that, if a bar enclosed it, what would the cost of ventilating that be? Is it prohibitive?
I would like to, Mr. Chair, I'd like to say I don't do estimates. That's not part of what I was trained in. So I would say, you know, there's some costs here certainly, but what they are exactly, I wouldn't be the one to answer that.
Any questions, Mr. Strub? If not, then the Chair renews his motion at House File 305.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As amended, be re-referred to Representative Murphy's Committee on Education and Workforce Development. Any other questions of the witness, of the legislators up front? Anybody else want to come down and talk on this? I really don't want you to, but they do. If not, then you've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Members, I just want to, again, I don't know if we're going to be meeting again. At least we don't think we are. So I want to thank all of you for, I had a lot of fun this year. I want to thank our staff, especially our pages who worked so hard, and Mr. Gelbman, who did a great job, Scott, who's always done a great job, Ms. Novak, and especially Ms. Novak and Mr. Berg, who worked through the nights for the last few weekends to get things done. Representative Briner.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to thank you also. Despite our differences on this last bill, I really appreciate the humor and perspective with which you've run this committee and the way you've made your views known in a direct way but respectful of differences. So thank you for your work.
Well, thank you, Representative Briner. You will see my humor on this issue. Okay, with that, any other comments? If not, thank you all. Meeting adjourned.